much about.
Konnichiwa, and welcome to Face, where I talk to some of the brightest stars in the entertainment industry, get to know them, gain their trust, and sometimes make a jacket out of their skin. Perhaps I've said too much.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
A lot of direction that I got when I was down there. I appreciate that.
This is not a joke, okay? It was offensive and lame, so double offensive.
And now,
Kevin, you're absolutely right. I believe the Kings will sweep to take the Stanley Cup. Definitely gonna sweep. I'm glad you said that. Say it again. Want to hear you say it? They're gonna sweep. 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 They're gonna sweep and be Stanley Cup champions. Bye.
Our feature presentation.
I hope that happens, but I would never say that.
You've said it a million times. Back me up on that, beer mug.
I can't back you up on that.
Well, that's true. Beer mug's unreliable. But so far, your prediction, Kevin, your guarantee that they were going to not only win, but sweep is coming true. So you got to feel pretty good about that.
Didn't predict. Certainly hope. Didn't say anything out loud.
Lisa, what's your memory? What's your recollection?
I think he predicted it. I'm pretty sure
I think he's been saying it all along.
Right?
Yeah. So
when it happens, though, I'm going to get all the credit.
You should. You should get all the credit. You're the only guy brave enough to go out there and do that.
I'm not doing that.
Most people, they get concerned. They think, oh, maybe I'll jinx it if I say something. But not Kevin, man. He's so confident. It's like Beer Mug being so confident in his ability to lose all that weight. Nothing will stop him from
saying that. Dare you. Beer Mug's basing his confidence on nothing. Come on. At least I have the King steamrolling through the playoffs.
They have won all 9 games on the road, which
right.
is pretty remarkable.
Isn't that unbelievable? And then last night, Lisa watched part of the game.
I did.
How could you not?
I know. It was
tied
very
1-1.
Exciting. 1-1 in overtime.
And then 1-1 in overtime, Lisa went, you know what? I'm kind of tired.
I got to get to bed.
She went to bed. Well, this is what you missed.
Pressed it along, and here's Kopitar moving it along. He scored! Kopitar in overtime, and the Kings have taken game number 1.
Crazy.
And that was interesting because that was just one-on-one. It was him and Marty right there, you know, Marty Brodeur right there at the goal, and he just outplayed him. He just got around him. It wasn't like a bunch of guys, you know, in a pile, and it squeaked through. I mean, it was a one-on-one attack, and he made it. It was pretty
sometimes
incredible.
It looks like a pinball game in there. You don't know who's hitting it and who's what it's bouncing off of and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that was a good, clean play.
Yeah, especially when the Devils at one point, was it Parisi who pushed it in with his hand?
Yes.
How strong was that the ref was able to see that?
That was very, very good because he really did just throw it in, which is illegal.
He reached out and pushed it in with his hand, Lisa.
Look, sometimes you're desperate.
Hey, I don't blame him. If my guy didn't at least try that, I'd be upset, you know, but they caught him, and so they waved it off, thank God.
Well, it was a great game. And tell me why it doesn't have anything to do with the scheduling for the NBA games, but why is there not another game till Saturday? What's that about?
I'm not positive what that's about. A boot, as you say. I don't know.
Seems like a long time for them to just sit around in New York waiting to play again.
I'm guessing it all has to do with TV, but...
TV and scheduling.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's just NBC. Yeah.
They play Wednesday, Saturday, and then Monday, Wednesday at home.
Right.
So I'm not very excited.
I'm
not going to be doing well next week. And if they win the cup on Wednesday...
When they win the cup, because they sweep.
You may not see me for a week. And I'm not calling in, and I'm not telling anybody anything. I'm just letting you know now.
It's like you won the lottery.
Things are going to go downhill quick.
Where will you be? What
Who
will you
knows?
Be doing?
Don't know.
Just partying.
Just having a great time someplace.
Okay.
Just giving you a heads up. Could be a day, could be a month. I'm not sure.
Understood. Gotcha.
But when I come in, I'll have the cup.
And you'll also have all that money from Beer Mug to spend, too, while you're gone. Speaking of having a good time, yesterday we did the story. At this time, about the guy who police are called, and he ends up stabbing himself in the stomach and ripping out his intestines and cutting them off and throwing them at the cops. And remember we were saying, there's no way that any amount of training in the world prepares a police officer, forget a police, any human being for encountering that situation, right?
You'd think he'd get on the radio and go, I've never faced this before. Anyone have any tips?
Well, here's another police officer story that maybe is the flip side of that, but equally difficult to handle. Drivers pulled illegal U-turns just to catch a glimpse of Ashley Holton, witnesses said. The 35-year-old Florida, of course, Florida woman, was arrested on May 26th for masturbating on Highway 484 in Ocala.
Wait, you mean just like out where everybody can see her? So everybody
yes,
was
on the
doing...
side of the road.
U-turn, U-turn, quick, we gotta go see that.
A witness told authorities that Holton had slowed traffic for more than 30 minutes before deputies arrived. The witness also said that honking car horns only seemed to encourage her.
Yeah, really?
Go for it!
I love that.
Do it again! Give yourself a break and then do it again!
That is what honking car horns mean, right?
Yes. She's on the side of the road, Lisa, masturbating. That's what she's doing with her day.
Was she naked or?
Well it,
Ashley Holton. Nope.
It doesn't. All you see is her face, so you have no idea what's going on below the neck there. But it doesn't say what was going on with her below the belt. Right. But it does say that when the sheriff's deputy approached her, she pulled up her shirt and bra, exposing her breasts. So at least she had her top on when she was masturbating. I don't know whether she had pants on or not.
Oh, I like her initial reaction, which is when the police approach, get worse. Undress more.
She was arrested and taken to Marion County Jail when an officer attempted to put pants on her. The report said that Holton kicked and bit her. Holton just described her chomping as a love tap, according to the report.
Chomping is not a love tap.
I'm not biting you as a love tap.
It's a love tap.
Oh, my God.
Here's my favorite part. The woman's alleged antics did not stop once she had entered the jail, where she continued to resist the officers by exposing her vagina and telling the officers to kiss her.
Wow.
Refusing verbal commands to cooperate. The report said she may have been under the influence of alcohol.
May have been.
May have been.
Makes her a little romantic.
You know why they say that is may have been under the influence of fill in the blank.
Yes, exactly. And was charged with exposure of sexual organs, battery on a law enforcement officer, resisting an officer, and disorderly conduct. Look, at this point, if you show up and somebody's not eating somebody's face off, you have to look at it as it could have been a lot worse.
That was a good day.
That's considered a good day.
And so, what a better place for her to be than jail for that kind of action.
That's true.
You know?
Good times.
That's where she wanted to go to begin with.
Right. Just take me to jail so I can get somebody to help me. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, you guys. You're right on time. Kevin just woke up screaming from his afternoon nap.
That's true. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have Catherine Brooks, who is doing a documentary called Face to Face, which is about Facebook and how you don't really have friends. Mm-hmm. As much as you would like to think that you have friends. So she kind of took out across the country to meet her Facebook friends.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's
is kinda,
interesting.
Yeah, really kind of bizarre.
Lisa, would you want to meet your Facebook friends?
No.
Okay.
You wouldn't? No.
Because Lisa is the girl who can't say no, especially when it comes to getting together with people that ask. But, I mean, if you started hearing from the people that are technically your, quote-unquote, friends on Facebook, and they said, hey, let's get together, you'd put a stop to that nonsense,
I
right?
would. I would not
yeah,
do
of course.
That.
David Koechner talking about the best movie of all time, Piranha 3DD.
Oh, my God.
Which is coming out, I believe, tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I
think that's right. Hey, can I interrupt for a second? We got an answer on our New Jersey schedule.
Oh, okay.
Prudential Center has Radiohead concerts. It's Thursday and Friday night, according to Mark from Northridge. Emailed in. So maybe that's what's going on. I mean, let's face it. We all know that's how it works. You know, at Staples Center, if the venue is already booked, sometimes they have to move the schedule around. So Mark says that's what's going on there.
And they booked those concerts probably 6 months, 8 months
exactly.
ahead. So.
Yeah, who knew they'd be using it for hockey? So,
they should do both.
Great. Just have Radiohead play during the game?
They should just put Radiohead right at the middle of the ice, and then the players have to get around them, not hit
them. Just get around them.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you for that information. If accurate, we appreciate it.
Yes. Anna Klumsky is going to be on the program talking about Veep.
Oh, I love that show.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have King of Mexico found a bizarre survey that says 12% of women use their phone to text during sex.
That seems insulting.
It does a little.
Don't you think?
But
there you are working hard and she's texting her friend.
She's texting somebody else.
Come
but
on.
At the same time, when we were talking about this story yesterday, Omar goes, fine with me. As long as I.
Really?
As long as she doesn't stop putting out, I'm in.
People multitask these days, I guess. That's what happens. Guess.
But during sex, that is a little insulting, I would think.
I can see how it would seem that way. Yeah, definitely.
Donald Trump is still out there trying to convince people that Obama is a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, people.
There are, I haven't seen the latest poll on this. There are a lot of people who agree with him. There are a lot of people who say, I know the state of Hawaii says that this is the official birth certificate. He absolutely was born in our state, meaning in this country. But a lot of people just are not accepting that. I don't know what it would take to change their minds.
It would take him to become the other party. What is he, Democrat? It would take him to become Democrat. A Republican.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they'd believe it.
And then they would go, oh, yeah, sure. He was born in America, of course.
But Donald Trump, I mean, he's just, he will not let this go. And who cares what he thinks about it? Yet he goes everywhere talking about it.
I agree. As far as I'm concerned, if Obama was not born in the United States, he's been our president for 3 years. He wins.
Yeah. That's good on you.
Right. He pulled the wool over our eyes so good that he deserves to stay where he is. Mm-hmm. Also on the program today, Matt Money Smith talking about the NHL finals, which should be rather fun. Dr. Drew will be on the program. Very excited about that as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat that's coming up. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Dan Heron, pitching ace for the Angels of Anaheim, is going to be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour, talking about the upcoming Freeway Series. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show here in K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Bremen.
Didn't he smoke your Mariners? I can't remember exactly.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I think
about.
He smoked your Mariners over the weekend.
I think he threw a negative pitcher instead of a no-hitter. It was like they actually had to give up runs for the next game that they were playing in because they were so horrible.
Was it a complete game and he struck out 14? Technically, yes. That may be what happened. We don't have to bring that up. Don't feel like that needs to be part of
the score. It was like 14 to minus 3,
all
I think.
All right. I get it.
I don't think you get it. The Mariners suck.
Although, Ralph, the Mariners last night scored 21 runs against the Texas Rangers.
Well, yeah. The Texas Rangers aren't even a baseball team. They're a country music band, right?
They're the best team in baseball in all of baseball.
21 runs?
Why
doesn't
21 runs.
Why doesn't the manager take them into the dugout and go, hey, dudes, let's sparse it out?
I know.
But the Dodgers had the best record in baseball.
Dodgers had the best record in the National League, and the Rangers had the best record in the American League.
There's an American League?
Oh, dear God.
Wow, who knew?
It's like Eastern and Western Conference in basketball and hockey.
Yeah, let's not talk about any baseball while there's still hockey going on, okay?
Correct.
Agreed. Let's just have our moment, our time.
You got three sports going on at once right now. There's
nothing
you can do about it.
Two sports going on right now and a pastime.
How dare you?
Sports and a pastime. America's pastime. Oh, let's pass the time by watching this horrible game.
They were talking last night during the Kings game about how Marty Brodeur, the goalie, is in his 40s.
He's 40, yeah.
40, yeah.
And they were talking about other athletes that are old, but they were throwing in baseball players. And I was thinking to myself,
oh, that's not fair.
Baseball players stand there pretty much for the whole game. Yeah. How hard can it be old to play baseball?
If you are old enough to stand, you can play baseball, is what they were saying.
If you're 90, but you can stand up,
that's right.
You can play baseball.
How dare you? All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I do have some passes to give away to a very special advanced screening of a movie we're looking forward to called Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yay!
It's happening at the AMC Century City on Wednesday, June 6th. Movie's in theaters Friday, June the 8th. But if you are one of the three lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you'll get a pair of passes to see it before anybody else. Here's the thing. It's hard to describe this movie in one line, which is sometimes the nicest thing I can say about a movie.
Yeah.
It's not easily condensed into one little high-profile concept. This is not a movie Kevin might necessarily go to on his own.
How dare you?
But the basic premise is there's a crazy dude named Kenneth.
I'm not going to that.
Who decides to announce to the world that he knows how to travel through time. And so he puts an ad, a classified ad in the newspaper, saying he's looking for someone to travel with him, and three cynical magazine employees find the ad and decide to do a story on this guy. And when they find him, it's not exactly what they expect. Great cast. Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation's in the film. Jake Johnson from New Girl also in the film.
The trailer looks so good.
It does look great. It's for the people who brought you Little Miss Sunshine. And
that was great.
Yeah. Yep. Other quirky little films like that. So if you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Go now. Congratulations to my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar. It's just been announced. He's going to get married to his girlfriend in July. Catriona McGinn, the lovely Catriona. They're getting married in July, so congratulations to those guys.
You know what's going to happen too, Ralph? They're probably just going to keep it on the down low and probably just going to follow through and get married and not slap us all over in the face with it.
I mean, it's not going to change the world as we know it?
I don't think so.
It's not going to be a $14 million event that's going to be covered by cameras for E?
I don't think they're going to force a reality TV show on us. Nothing.
No, it's not the way he rolls. Jessica Simpson is forcing her baby on us. She wants us to know that life has completely changed since she had her little girl, Maxwell.
Huh. That's different.
What? A baby has changed your life, Jessica Simpson?
Look, babies changed my life. They changed Ralph's life. But they change everyone's life. So
that's a universal experience.
Go ahead and just keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, her experience is different, Kevin, because she's telling now People magazine in a lengthy interview that her daughter has taken over everything in her life. And also, she just can't get enough of her new daughter. Plus, breastfeeding is a full-time job. See, it's different for Jessica Simpson. Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah, unfortunately. Because no one's ever done that.
But why did People magazine pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for those photos and interview?
Bean, I got to tell you, we ask this question all the time. It must pay off for them.
Yeah, but especially, and I was thinking about this last night, as they were doing a story on this on one of the entertainment news shows, I was thinking, you don't even have to buy the magazine. The pictures are instantly on television, instantly on the internet. What is People magazine getting out of that huge investment?
Well, you get the interview. You get the fact that breastfeeding is a full-on job.
Right, but that only helps them if they are selling a startling a new amount of magazines as a result of having
that interview. They must.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Not to mention, Jessica says she's also looking forward to becoming a part of the Weight Watchers family. She did gain 75 pounds during her pregnancy.
Is that a lot?
But she's pulling in a cool $4 million.
Well, she
dropped
needs
the weight with Weight Watchers. Yes, Lisa, because you know her fashion line is struggling and only bringing in tens of millions of dollars a year. So
you've got a weight problem, and you know it.
You know it, Jessica Simpson.
Ralph, I think you were out when we talked about this, but my theory is that she gained as much weight as possible because she is being paid per pound lost by Weight Watchers.
Wow.
Oh, so she pigged out, hoping
so
then she can make more money by losing.
Exactly.
It's going to be so funny when, like Beer Mug, she can't drop it.
And she's just fat for the rest of her life.
Yep.
Shaun White's got a new girlfriend. If you believe folks who were in a bar in New York over the weekend who apparently saw him hanging out with and doing very well with a young lady named Bar Raffaelli, apparently. Yeah, they were in a nightclub over the weekend where the two were showing lots of public displays of affection, say onlookers. They left the place around 3 a.m.
Good for him.
Bar insisted that she drive because apparently Sean was overserved a little bit. So she's a smoking-hot Israeli supermodel, and she's your designated driver.
Yeah.
That's the perfect woman for you
right there. Those of you don't recognize the name, she was number one on the Maxim 100 hot list.
She's okay, if you're into that kind of thing.
She certainly doesn't have a type, though, does she?
No, she doesn't. The Kumquat Tomato, whatever the hell his name is.
Flying Tomato, yeah, I believe, is his nickname. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Colin Farrell is 36 years old, soon to be seen in the upcoming Total Recall reboot from the Schwarzenegger film, which looks great, by the way. Can't wait to see that. Amazing Race host Phil Kogan celebrates his 45th birthday. He's 45.
He's great.
He's in too good shape.
Yeah, he'll climb Everest or something today just for his birthday for fun.
Brooke Shields is 47. DMC of Run DMC is 48 years old today. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future fame and Caroline in the City, the series she had. She was 51 years old. Comedian Chris Elliott, who was on the David Letterman show for many years, 52 years old. Actor Tom Berenger is 62. And actor Clint Eastwood, actor-director Clint Eastwood, celebrates his 82nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I got to tell you that Bean and I are opposite in almost every way. Bean obsessed with politics. Loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it. Bean will stay up like on the night of the State of the Union and get food all around him and sit down and watch.
Well, it's fun.
It's like a Super Bowl for him.
For me, it's the opposite of fun. I hate everything to do with politics because now people that can't beat Barack Obama on the issues are now trying to continue to say he wasn't born in the United States.
Right.
Donald Trump being among them.
It doesn't seem like it's going away. And what do you think the deal is with Donald Trump? Do you think, hey, Celebrity Apprentice is off now, I have to figure out some way to stay, in my mind, relevant and stay on television? Do you think that's why he gets behind an issue like this?
It's odd because...
Or does he believe it?
I think he believes it because they were talking about people in his position generally don't take a stand like this because you're alienating at least half of all people, right?
Right. And if you're running a business, you need those people.
Right.
But...
So he
and
must
if you have a
really
television show.
Believe
but,
yeah. it. Yeah.
But he needs more publicity than any. I mean, he lives for publicity.
He does. So well, he very much is a supporter of Mitt Romney. He met with Mitt Romney early on and announced that he was his guy. If Donald Trump decided not to jump in at the last minute, Mitt Romney was going to be his guy. And now they're even doing campaign stuff together. There's even a lottery, a contest that you can win where you can have dinner with Mitt Romney and Donald Trump together.
I don't want that.
So he's been making the rounds on this birther thing now that the election is gearing up again for this November. And President Barack Obama is a foreigner. He was born in Kenya. Everybody knows that. And here he is. Here's a little piece of the tape. He's been all over all the shows. But here he is. I guess Wolf Blitzer this time is calling him out on it and saying, look, why are you doubling down on this issue?
If the state of Hawaii says this is official, why do you deny that?
A lot of people do not think it was an authentic certificate.
How can you say that
if the... Now, you won't report it, Wolf, but many people do not think it was authentic. His mother was not in the hospital. There were many other things that came out. And frankly, if you would report it accurately, I think you'd probably get better ratings than you're getting, which are pretty small.
Yeah! Wow. Take the low road!
Snap! Donald Trump, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. You're hanging on to this, aren't you?
You know why you were good?
Why?
Because you're born in America. That's why. Greatest country of all. What?
I wasn't born in America, Mr. Trump.
Where's your birth certificate then? Why do foreigners come on our radio in America and be able to get an American radio show? Why doesn't that job going to an American?
Well, you're allowed to do that by the laws of America, but Bean was born in England.
That's why when Mitt Romney's in office, that's all going to change.
What are you going to make?
I don't know. Something bad's going to happen to foreigners. That's all I know. I haven't nailed it down yet, but something bad will happen to people not born in America.
You can get my vote. I'm up for sale if you can promise me that something bad is going to happen to Bean.
Absolutely. Right. I promise you something bad will happen
to
him.
You got it.
And I wanted to correct you guys. You're talking about dinner with Mitt and myself that we're having.
Yes.
We are having a lottery. It's a fundraiser for Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
If you enter into the lottery for a small fee, third place is two dinners with me and Mitt Romney. Second place is dinner with me and Mitt Romney. And then first place is you don't have to go to dinner with me and Mitt Romney.
I see. Yeah.
If you win, you don't have to sit down and watch me eat rigatoni with my mouth open.
Yes, that's a terrible visual. Thank you for that.
Yes.
But look, in all seriousness, this has been investigated so thoroughly.
A lot of people don't think it was a real birth certificate.
Right, but a lot of people think Elvis is alive. A lot of people think aliens are among us. There's a lot of things a lot of people think, Donald. Doesn't mean true.
And also a lot of people believe that Barack Obama was born from an alien and Elvis having sex. And that's what I believe.
His mother
wasn't in that hospital because she was in Elvis's spaceship.
You're the only person that actually believes that.
No, a lot of people believe it. And if you would report on it, your ratings would be better instead of Ryan Seacrest.
What do you get out of going around fanning this flame? What's in it for you, Mr. Trump?
The truth. That's what I get.
No, but
I get the truth. And that's what I'm after is the truth.
Right.
And why won't Barack Obama admit that he was not born in the United States of America?
But we get those of us that don't really care one way or the other. He's our president, and that's just life. And why spend so much energy on this particular thing? Would anything convince you?
Yes, a real birth certificate would convince me. And some DNA testing that would prove that he is not part dolphin.
What?
Barack Obama is part dolphin.
That's not true at all.
That's why he was in Hawaii. His mother was a dolphin, and she gave birth to him somewhere off the coast.
I don't think that's right. That doesn't sound right.
Look for his blowhole. Look for it.
He doesn't have a blowhole.
Right down the top of his head.
Being as strong as you're going to go on that as it doesn't sound right to you?
Let me ask you,
a human being with a blowhole on the top of his head.
Born at sea to a dolphin.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Trump, and this is something that I haven't seen anybody bring up, and maybe you've got an answer, but I can't imagine what it is. Let's say that you're right. Let's say that the president cracks...
Finally, someone with a speaking sense.
Hypothetical.
Right.
Okay. So the president comes out today, calls a hastily arranged press conference in the Rose Garden. He says, you know what? Donald Trump got me. He's right. I am actually African. I was born in Kenya. I'm not eligible to be president. I stepped down at noon today.
I'm part dolphin.
And Elvis and an alien are my mother. Right.
Yes.
At noon today, do you want Joe Biden to be the president of the United States? Because that's what happens if you turn out to be right. You get that, right?
Absolutely, I want Joe Biden in the White House.
Well, easily beatable by the Republicans,
I
imagine.
First of all, yes. Second of all, hilarious. The only guy who screws up more than Kevin.
How dare you?
All right, so you're not going away from this issue. You're just going to keep pounding this on any channel that'll have you between now and November,
that's
right?
That's right, because it's important for us to realize that we need a real American in the White House like Mitt Romney, not a half-dolphin alien Elvis baby.
the blowhole.
Okay. Put that right on the bumper stickers. I'm with you. Quite a show coming up for you here today on a Thursday, including a brand new internet roundup. Also, Dr. Drew joins us, actor David Koechner from the new Piranha 3DD, and actress Anna Klumsky from the TV show Veep, all on the way right now, live from the golf course, former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money nationally syndicated sports radio show. Hey, Money, how are you golfing out there today?
Well, I'm on the first hole, and I picked up my ball so I could have a great conversation about Stanley Cup winning hockey with you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, Kevin has been on the radio every single day guaranteeing not only a win but a sweep for the Kings, and so far he's come through.
I've not been saying that at all, as you know, Money. I'm not
that
stupid.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some famous guarantees in sports.
This is not one of them. I did not say it.
Obviously, you got Joe Namath and the Colts. You know, in 69, yep. The Jets coming through, and Patrick Ewing's many famous guarantees that will never fulfill. But I think when it comes to the annals of great sports guarantees, Kevin Ryder.
I agree. Look, I think Kevin is Babe Ruth pointing in the stands, man. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's Babe Ruth at Wrigley Field. Exactly. That's
exactly.
Last night, of course, was game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. It was the Kings and the Devils. It went into overtime, and this is how it ended.
Preston along!
I wish the Kings could play all of the games on the road. Having, you know, I love to go to the games, but man, they're good on the road.
Well, it turns out when you're the 8th seed, to be good on the road is a good thing.
It's a necessary
that's
thing.
Where most of your games are played. Yeah. So that worked in their favor pretty darn well.
Was there anything that was a surprise to you last night, Matt?
Here's the big thing for people that don't watch a lot of hockey and you know, on the Twitter, we got a lot of those. Hey, it's the first time I've watched the whole hockey game. It was awesome. I mean, they looked terrible. I mean, both teams did. I think, you know, whoever lost that game, they would have come out and said, we deserve to lose that game. And that's essentially what the Devils were saying. They were sloppy. The puck was bouncing all over the place because it was so freaking humid out there and hot, and they were having issues with the ice. So, it's just an ugly game. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. And the fact that they could play as poorly as they did and still get out with that victory is, I mean, you want to talk about confidence. This team already has it on the road, but to know that they probably, I mean, that was their, you know, outside of the game three and in the first round, that was probably their ugliest game of this entire postseason. It was in the Stanley Cup final, and they still got the win. I mean, that is as big a boost as you could get.
I think Jonathan Quick is using the force. Or some, he's cheating in some way. As
I think he's just using the power of that patchy pube beard that he's trying to grow.
I don't think he's trying to grow a pube beard.
That is one of my favorite things about the Stanley Cup Final is the young guys. It's like you look at Marty Brodeur, you know, the 40-year-old goaltender, the best of his era. And he's clean shaven. He's like, whatever with you stupid kids and your
right.
stupid
That was
beard.
Funny. I noticed that last night, too, for the first time. I was like, hey, Martin Brodeur isn't even growing a beard.
Yeah, he's 40. He's got 3 Stanley Cups and a Conn Smythe. He doesn't give a crap.
Well, he deserves to lose, then.
Who's well, with me? I mean, I guess a man that's putting out guarantees could determine
I'm
whether
not
or not
putting out any guarantees. I'm not that stupid.
Kevin is
Kevin. You did touch the Stanley Cup, so you do have some sort of power in those hands of yours.
Thank you.
Only those who win a Stanley Cup can touch the Stanley Cup.
That's
so
true.
Since you've actually grasped it, you really do know a lot more than the rest of us.
Money, I'm sure that in your comedy, you know that it's for players. Players can't touch the cup. I don't play. Yeah,
I don't know. I distinctly remember when that cup came into our studio and the photo went out of you holding it. People wanted to drive to our undisclosed location
right.
and beat the living crap out of
and
you
right,
putting your hands
true.
On.
Right, and right now they should be sending me gifts.
Hey, let me ask you this. We talked about it earlier today, Matt. How often do you see what Parisi tried to pull last night for the Devils where he pushed the goal across the line with his hands?
All the time, right?
All the time, yeah. Push, kick, shove.
They say
spit
in hockey,
it out of your mouth.
They say spit it out of your mouth. They say in hockey, if you're not willing to cheat, you're not willing to try hard enough.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the
funny thing, too, and I don't know if you could tell this, but it's hard to kind of project when they're showing what replay on the Jumbotron up above.
Right.
You could see the goal. You could tell they were freaking out when the thing went in. They showed it across the line, and then they showed that other angle.
Yes.
You could hear the entire arena go, oh.
Well, let me say one more thing about this, and then I want to ask you just briefly about the Heat-Celtics game last night. And that is, and I thought this was interesting. You know, they said during the beginning of the game last night, they said the team that wins the first game of the Stanley Cup finals has gone on to win it. I think they said 76% of the time, and I thought, my God, that's unbelievable. Three out of four times you win the first game, you win the cup, right? But then they also pointed out that the Devils have lost the first game of every series this entire postseason. So I guess you could throw both statistics out the window, right?
Yeah, I think they won the first game in the Rangers series. One of those series they did. But, you know, the Devils, they certainly have not had the marks to the final that the Kings did, where they just dominated everybody in their way. And I think that stat, Dean, if I remember right, I think it's road teams that win the first game win that percentage of the time, which makes sense stealing one and you're going to go home and you're like, you know, if everything holds, you're going to go up 3-1 probably and then have three games to close it out.
Those of you that haven't watched hockey, try it. It's Saturday night at 5. That's game two. And then Monday and Wednesday of next week are home games, and it's the Kings and the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, and I do want to point out for those Monday, Wednesday games, guys, we're going to move our slots. So we're going to go on 12 to 4 those days leading into the Kings pregame on the radio. And I'll be out just right in front of Staples Center. They're closing down the streets. It'll probably be a parade of former Kings and Robitaille and all those guys their way out from noon to 4 Monday and Wednesday.
Kevin, you need to stop by and make your prediction on Money Show also then. That way you get it on AM and FM.
You mean the prediction that I never made?
The one that you're always talking about.
I am not that stupid.
By the way,
I don't believe in jinxes at all, but sports fans do, and they will kill me.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they absolutely will.
Yeah.
You'll replace McSorley's curved stick, Kevin, as the bane of the Kings existence.
How dare you, sir?
Look, Kevin is not going to accept any of the blame if the Kings end up not winning the Cup, but believe me, he's going to be accepting all the credit if they do.
That's how I roll.
Luke is the nicest guy ever. He's never been in a fight on the ice. He will chop Kevin in the larynx if he freaking screws this up.
And who could blame him? All right, well, now we're out of time, Money. We'll let you get back to your golf game. Petras and Money in the afternoons on AM 570 here in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for joining us today, dude. Have fun.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman, we're talking to one of your favorite actresses on one of your favorite TV shows coming up next after the top of the hour.
Anna Kamsky?
Yes, from the TV show Veep.
I love Veep.
Isn't it great?
This weekend was so funny.
Yes.
You're very, very pregnant. It's like 9/11 all over again. Spectacular.
Coming right up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Well, Sean Connery in the news today. Apparently, he was one of the celebrities targeted by phone hackers from Rupert Murdoch's News Corp.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
There were many celebrities, if you're following this story at all, that had been hacked by reporters working for News International UK, the newspaper unit of Rupert Murdoch's company. And apparently, Connery was one of those men whose phones were hacked to try to get juicy stories about him for the tabloids, News of the World specifically. But Connery, who's now 81 years old, living in the Bahamas, said he didn't feel the need to follow up or sue.
Wow.
Once he was contacted and informed that he was one of the victims of this hacking, an attempt to contact Sir Sean was made by an individual connected with the investigation. But Sir Sean said he didn't wish to be involved.
We have his number. You want us to pass
you know
it
why,
to
You
him?
Know why he doesn't want to be involved?
Why?
He's going to take care of things his own way. You know what? He doesn't need the authorities to get involved. Don't worry. He'll straighten things.
I've got this.
Yeah, he's got a certain set of skills that's going to help in the long run.
Yeah.
From somebody with skills to somebody without skills, Kathy Lee Gifford. Well, she's the Today Show's Kevin, is what she is, basically.
How dare you? She's terrible.
She might drink more than Kevin, though.
That's true. Who did we talk to when you asked about his dad, and his dad had been dead for some time?
Tim Matheson, wasn't it?
We have done that probably 5 to 10 times.
I'm pretty sure it was Tim Matheson, Ralph, you're thinking of.
Yeah, he was talking about, oh, your dad must be so proud of you in this situation. Oh, yeah, well, my dad died several years ago. So
we learned the hard way. Do not speak about parents without asking ahead of time because they can be dead. That's not fun.
Kathy Lee Gifford did an even worse job, if that's possible. She was talking to Martin Short, very, very funny actor, and one of the voices of the new movie, Madagascar 3. Now, here's the thing. Martin had one of the great all-time marriages in show business with his longtime wife, Nancy, who passed away, sadly, in August of 2010 from ovarian cancer. It was in all the papers. I remember hearing about it.
Yeah. Did make pretty big news.
And feeling sad for Martin, specifically, that he lost his wife at such a young age. Apparently, Kathy Lee did not hear about it. Or did she bother to do any research about Martin Short, apparently, before their interview? Because this is what happened. This is the first clip is what happened during the interview. And listen, by the way, listen to what a sweet, sweet man Martin Short is.
Yeah, who could have corrected her immediately and
easily
made her feel terrible.
Could have said, you know what, you dumb bitch. My wife's been dead for 2 years. Thanks for bringing it up, asshole. Instead, he just goes along and gets along. And then I'll play you the clip that came out after the commercial break.
He and Nancy have gotten one of the greatest marriages of anybody in show business. How many years now for you guys?
We married 36 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're still like in love.
Oh. Madly in love. Madly
wow.
In love.
Why?
Cute. I'm cute.
Yes, that is true. And you make each other laugh.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of- no, not so much.
Oh, my God.
I haven't laughed much.
I want to make her laugh anymore. That's for sure.
It continues because there's only one of us and we don't fight.
How many current questions could she have asked? Still
just,
in love, still
she
meet each other.
Just won't stop. And he is such a Canadian.
Yes.
He is such a Canadian that he
so
does
classy.
Not want to make her feel bad and awkward, that he just goes along with it. And then apparently during the commercial break, someone probably stepped in and went, "Hey, Kathy, yeah, his wife's been dead for 2 years. Uh-huh. You're an asshole." And then when they came back live, this happened.
Martin just told me as he was leaving, he said, "Kathy, you probably didn't know, but his beautiful, precious wife, Nancy, did pass away a year and a half ago of ovarian cancer. And I feel so badly." But he said, "Kathy," he said, "at her funeral, Mike Nichols said, just keep the conversation going." And the way he was speaking of her,
well, he said he had one of the great marriages. And at the end, he told you, I still do.
So my apologies to him and his family for not realizing that.
Yeah, it's his fault. He was talking about her so nicely that I just assumed she was alive. Instead of looking up Martin Short on Wikipedia before I stepped out on the stage of the Today Show, where I'm highly paid.
Oh, my God.
Oh God, I hate her so much.
That's fantastic.
He was talking about her so glowingly. You know, I talk about Abraham Lincoln very glowingly, too. He's my favorite president.
Are you married?
Is he around? You want to interview him, Kathy Lee? Somebody. Where's the dart gun?
The blow dart?
Yep.
What happened to the murder button? I thought you were this close to getting a patent on that, Ralph. Come
well,
on.
The man stepped in. Government.
Is that what it was?
Government came
right.
in and cracked down on me.
Said you weren't allowed to kill. That's yeah. right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Colin Farrell's 36 years old. Today, amazing race host Phil Kogan celebrates his 45th birthday. Brooke Shields is 47. DMC of Run DMC is 48. Tom Berenger, very talented actor, is 62 years old. And actor Clint Eastwood celebrates his 82nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Dr. Drew Pinsky on the show later on today. Also, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And your friend Dave Koechner, Ralph, is going to be here talking about Piranha 3DD.
I love Koechner.
Which really is, that's the movie that may get me back to the theaters. I got to be honest.
And we got to talk about Anchorman 2 now that it's in the pipeline. Can't wait
and
for
Anchorman
to start working
2,
on
right.
that. Yeah.
Speaking of great entertainment, what about HBO's Veep? What about that show that airs Sunday nights at 10? How about that?
Laugh out favorites. Loud funny every week.
Boy, Anna you don't Klubsky. Say that about very many shows.
I don't because no, there aren't that don't. Many laugh out loud comedies on television, but Veep is one of them.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, plays the vice president herself, and her chief of staff is played by actress Anna Klumsky, who I don't think we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show, so this is indeed a thrill. Anna, welcome. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
And I got to tell you, I'm a little in love with Amy. She's kind of spectacular.
Yeah.
Hey, fantastic. That's, she can use some people to be in love with her, I'm sure.
She has the most creative usage of the word F that I've seen on television in a long, long time.
Have you ever gotten that compliment?
I've never gotten that compliment before, but it is one of my favorite swears. So that's a good thing. Well, it must come out.
You use it effectively on HBO, I got to tell you.
It is funny because when I first started seeing the trailers for Veep, the first thing I thought is, my God, how is Julie Louis-Dreyfus still so hot? That's the first thing I thought. And then
word.
I thought, right? And then
hold
I thought.
Hold it. Did you just say word?
You're bringing word back, are you, Anna? Okay, good.
That was very nice.
And then I thought, oh, this is going to be another political drama, you know, like a West Wing or something like that. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, it really is.
Oh, I'm glad you were surprised.
Yeah, because it really is an office comedy that just happens to be set in the office of the vice president. I mean, really, that's what you're doing. It's extremely broad, and I think anybody would like it. It doesn't have anything to do with politics, really.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think you hit it right on the nose.
Okay. All right. Okay, good to talk
Done.
To
you.
Tell us a little bit about the origins of Veep, because it's brought to us by the same guy who did a very successful political comedy in England, right?
Yes, yes. Armando and Simon and Tony Roach and all of our writers have done a show, and I still going on, called The Thick of It, which is in the UK, and that kind of takes place in the Prime Minister's staff room. You know, the main character in that one is his press agent, basically. And so, so they kind of took all of those sensibilities, but it's not really the same focal point. You know, I think Armando, you know, just thought, oh wow, the vice presidency, nobody really has taken advantage of the very wide spectrum that could be. So I think that.
And how politically neutered sometimes the vice president can be, sadly.
Oh my gosh! Totally, totally. It's really something else when you really start thinking about it. And you know, there's really only two major things that the job description requires, and the rest is really up to the administration. So a hilarity can ensue.
Anytime somebody tries to make anything funny or non-political, but it's involved in the political world, do you get a lot of fallout from both sides saying, "Hey, why are you acting this way? Hey, why are you acting that way? We've got our agendas."
It is really interesting. I mean, what's really fascinating is kind of, you know, everybody that you meet, you know, anywhere, like in the street or the coffee shop or friends of yours, everyone actually has this kind of preconceived notion, whether they knew it or not before the show. It's starting to kind of seep out that they had their own notion of what goes on in Washington. And so some people are like, oh, that's totally, you know, as dirty as I think it is. Or some other people are, you know, will say, oh yeah, you know, do people really swear that much in Washington? You know, a lot of people, you know, love to kind of add their own take on it, which is delicious. That's exactly what I think a TV show should do. It should leave it up to the viewer to interpret it.
Have you gotten any feedback from Washington? Has anyone in the president's office or the White House gotten in touch with everyone there at HBO?
I haven't heard of any of that. We had a bunch of people that we spoke to that were really generous with their time and energy from many different positions in government that kind of lent us their expertise and their knowledge on what happens and how their days are and stuff. So, you know, I know that we screened it in Washington, and most people really it sounded like the audience just really enjoyed it and kind of felt like there was a comic voice there for
Joe
them.
Biden won't see it unless you move it to Nickelodeon. Then he'll be able to watch that. And he'll enjoy it.
This is the voice of actress Anna Klumsky here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about her show Veep, which airs Sunday nights on HBO. It's still in its first season, but has already been renewed for a second season, so that's good news for everybody. I also get the impression that everybody they all work for the vice president, so they all have inherent respect for her, but they also know that she's just a goofus. I mean, she's just they're just trying to make sure she doesn't embarrass herself too much, I bet that happens all the time, where the people working for the politician are smarter than the politician, right?
Well, there's that, and I think also it's, you know, people who are required to be in front of the camera constantly have to kind of have a split personality, because, you know, in the situation like in D.C., they're also politicking behind the scenes, plus they're in front of the camera, you know, it kind of having to relay their message differently than they may have to behind the camera. So they're kind of all over the place, and that's required of them. And so I think that, yeah, the staff always has to kind of be aware of which hat they're wearing at what times, and you know, they're given the benefit of not having to wear all those hats. They can actually focus on the one principle and see what they're doing.
Plus, Selena has been put in so many horrible photo op situations all season long. She's just forced to take pictures of all these dullards. You know, she doesn't want to talk to the fast food group about body mass index, and she's
exactly, she's
just so put upon, which makes it so much funnier. Yes.
And I love the fact that you guys, everyone in the office, and I don't know if this was a skill you had to learn, Anna, but all of you have to walk and look at your Blackberries at the same time every single minute that you're awake.
That's true. And we, you know, we were joking, or maybe I was joking, but that that we should start teaching like BlackBerry acting classes, because like there it. Is a whole there's a whole other kind of thing that you have to think about. Like, you can't just look at your BlackBerry for the heck of it. You kind of have to pretend that you've got like a buzz or something in order to look at it. And, you know, I don't know those kinds of things. Yeah, we certainly started to dissect every little movement when it comes to the BlackBerry.
Well, before we say goodbye, Kevin, let's play that clip we have from HBO's Veep. This is a very funny scene where somebody comes across your character, Amy. You're buying a pregnancy test. I don't want to spoil it for folks who haven't seen the current episode, but hilarity ensues. Check it out.
Are you pregnant? Amy, come on. Career-wise, that's like joining Scientology or getting a f***ing neck tattoo.
Thanks for the support.
So I guess you're going to be needing maternity leave. I'd be the obvious choice for your replacement.
It is literally your first thought.
No, my first thought was, there goes your figure, but I didn't say that because I thought it would be upsetting.
Thanks. You know, if it's a boy, maybe I'll name him after you. Call him Weasel.
Yeah, F Weasel was my favorite one this week, yeah. As opposed to Salad Spinner of F, which was from a couple weeks ago, which I thought was spectacular.
Yeah, it's so funny because you're so serious about it when you say it, so that you don't even realize it's funny. But
HBO, Sunday nights, the show is called Veep. Anna, congratulations on a great show. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean program, too.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for watching. I'm thrilled.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Really?
Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Ordinarily, I'm yelling at Kevin for eating, but I think if it makes a beer mug uncomfortable and makes him starve more to hear you enjoying your food, I say go for it today.
I thought it could be done before the Coldplay song was over, but I was incorrect.
What are you having?
Lucy's Number 2 is the name of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Mexican food.
Yes. Nice. Mexican food at 7:30 in the morning is the best.
Yes, it is.
It's awesome.
It's our lunch.
This is a fascinating study that David King of Mexico brought in. And by the way, I can't believe David King of Mexico doesn't also do this, because he is the king of 24-hour texting. But this is a new survey by something called the Meredith's Parents Network. This happens to be a survey of mothers, but I suspect that this is not a mom thing. I suspect that this is a people thing of a certain age. 12% of people in this survey say that they use their phone during sex.
That is shocking.
Women use their cell phone. Now, whether that's texting or emailing or calling, it seems like all three are pretty rude. But then we asked Omar in the next room.
They're just like reading their Facebook?
He's like, fine with me. I don't know, as long as I...
It doesn't differentiate, Kevin. Excuse me, Lisa, but you're Lisa, right? The girl?
Yes, the girl.
Yeah, okay. Girl.
Yeah, just using your phone. I can't imagine too many people are actually having voice conversations, but I do think a lot of people are texting and checking their email and checking their Facebook. Yeah, I think that's what's going on here. 12%.
Are they hiding it? I mean, it's so insulting. I mean...
Well, you'd have to kind of go out of your way, wouldn't you? Like, you'd have to hide it.
You'd have to arrange the position properly.
Right.
So that your partner could
get to your phone, your partner couldn't see it, doing it behind his back.
Right.
I can't imagine most of these people are hiding it. I just think,
I don't know. They're just like...
Do you think people nowadays just accept it and it's not a big deal?
Look, there was a time when it was shocking that somebody would use their phone in a restaurant, okay? And now we've given up on that fight. Everybody does it. We now understand, although we used to try to pretend it didn't happen, we do understand that many of the texts we get are from people sitting on a toilet. I mean, people just use their phones all the
time.
Those
numbers are much
higher. To it.
Bathroom numbers are in the 20%, 20 to 30%.
Absolutely. Yeah. At least. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Sex between two people, and it's just two people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems rude enough even at a dinner when you're walking through a restaurant, you see a couple, and they're sitting at dinner, and both of them are talking to someone else or texting to somebody else. It happens, but for some people, it happens all the time. Like, that's their way of living.
They cannot not do it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, look, no one likes to say current more than I do, but if I ever had sex, I would not be using my phone.
Right, if. Then
that's
you
what
wouldn't.
I'm saying. Then I wouldn't, right.
Right.
But we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your experiences in this arena. You have been the person who has used your cell phone during sex, or you've been with somebody who's used their cell phone during sex. And I want to hear some details about this. I want to find out whether this was just something that was agreed to. This is just something that happened.
Was it an emergency?
Was there some sort of fallout from it? Were you not crazy about it? Is it just something that you guys just agree that it's okay to do? You think it's somehow disrespectful or offensive, Kevin, to the other partner? That's what you're suggesting?
Well, I would think so.
Because people can multitask.
Right, but I'm saying if you're doing something that's that intimate between only two people, mm-hmm. I find it when two people are at dinner, I find it rude.
Yes.
Because basically what you're saying is, I know there's only you here with me, but I would rather text to somebody that's not with us. That seems a little bit rude. Omar in the other room said, as long as she keeps putting out, I don't care.
And by the way, lots of people watch TV during sex. Is it any different?
Yes, because you
they
have
do?
To type.
Why do they?
Because your show's on.
What?
Because you only have a limited amount of time in your day, Lisa. What's wrong with you?
Who in this room watches TV during sex?
All the hands are going up.
I don't. I don't.
Oh, you Muggs? Just pause and then go back to it 4 minutes later?
Muggs doesn't.
4 minutes?
It's just you, Bean.
It's like 45 seconds, but yeah.
Let's take one call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know how I feel about this number of 12%. I don't know whether that seems high or low to me of people who say they do use their cell phone during sex.
I hope it's high.
I'm not surprised by it, but let's see what George has to say. He's on line one, and again, then we'll take your calls toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, George. What's going on, man?
How's it going, party people?
Good.
Hello.
So you're not very good at sex. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were in the middle of sex, and it happened a few times without me noticing. I found it kind of odd that when I was on top, my wife would hold me really close, like really, really close. And at first, she never really did that. And okay, intimate, it's kind of cool. Right on. And then I felt something cold up against my back. I'm like, what the hell? I turned around, and sure enough, she was farmvilleing.
What? She wasn't even texting. She was playing Farmville?
Yeah.
Honey, I've got to feed my and harvest my corn.
Oh,
right
yeah.
now, dude. In this 2 minutes, you need that?
That really got me. So once I was done, one of the times that I noticed it, I tweeted Giggity, and that really pissed her off.
But that's what you should have done, by the way. A, and
that's
B,
hilarious.
It's not like she's, it's an emergency. You can understand it's an emergency.
Right.
Although
yeah.
you'd think that she would say, let's hold on for a second, I have an emergency. But Farmville is really nothing but a time waster if you're bored. She was so bored.
You're telling me, imagine how that made me feel. I even asked her, what the hell, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? What, am I not good enough for you or what?
And what did
like,
she
well,
say?
I just needed to get to the next level. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I ended up leaving for about a month.
A month?
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, we were looking for that. We don't want anyone to bring
now,
up
talk
over
about
this.
An ego crusher.
Oh, totally.
No, that one does hurt, George. I'm sorry about that. But I'm sorry to bring up your pain here today listening to radio. But thank you very much for the call. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Texting or checking your email or your Facebook during sex. You've done it or he or she has done it. We want to hear your stories next on the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock.
Oh, yeah, honey, that's perfect. That's perfect. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Hey, wait a minute. What's that?
See, because she's checking her Farmville while they were having sex. That's what happened there.
You can't wait another 30 seconds.
New York Daily News reports an article that 12% of people in this survey admit to using their telephone during sex for texting, tweeting, emailing. Who knows? Maybe even talking to the phone. I'm not sure. But we're taking your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Chase. Chase is on line 5 to get us going here. Hey, Chase. Yeah, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. So a few years ago, when I lived in Florida, I'm hanging out in a bar with a chick. And, you know, everything seems to be going good and buying her drinks. And I think we're hitting it off. You know, she spends a lot of time on the phone and texting, but that's normal.
Right.
And so we get home, and everything's hot and heavy. We're right in the middle of the act, and all of a sudden she gets a phone call, and it's, you know, one of those specialized ringtones or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She stops right in the middle, takes the call. Turns out it's her booty call that she had been texting and calling all night that I had no idea about.
Oh. Is that right? She was just saying, another 2 minutes, and I'll be on my way.
Yep. Basically stops right in the middle of it, goes, yeah, I'll be right over. And
dude.
Yep.
And, you never felt more used in your life, did you?
Well, you know, actually I was kind of okay with it because first of all, I didn't really know the chick, so it's not like you know, not a big deal. It made me really happy that God or you know that they invented condoms, you know, because
right.
I don't have to deal, you know, but
right.
I was just so blown away, I didn't even know what to say. And, you know, she was just like, okay, I got to go.
But you were C-blocked from somebody miles away. That's got to hurt.
Yeah, you know, it was a little bit of a hurt to my pride. But, yeah. You know, what can you do? You know, you take a drunk chick home from the bar, you get what you get.
Right.
That's
good
very
point.
Funny. Hey, at least you got there first. At least you weren't texting her while she was with another dude.
Well, that's kind of how I looked at it, too.
The answer is hurry up even more.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Lisa. Lisa's on line 1-800-520-1067. Thank you for calling, my dear. What's going on? Lisa.
Hello?
Lisa. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, go
hi.
Ahead, please.
So I was pleasuring my boyfriend, and I hear his phone ring, and I thought he ignored it, and then I look up, and he's like, and I was like, okay, he's like totally feeling this, and I go, and I look, and he's still on the phone. I was like, what the, what are you doing? He's like, just keep going, just keep going. I'm like, who are you talking to? He's like, it's my mom, just keep going. I'm like, it's your mom, like, hang up the phone,
maybe
what are you doing?
Maybe that's some kind of strange, bizarre fantasy of his.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't suggest that.
Just saying. So what happened? Did he hang up or did you hang up?
I guess he was talking about some plans about later on that night. And he's like, okay, Mom, I'll see you later. And I was like,
yeah,
okay.
And that's a call that couldn't have waited 5 minutes, right?
Talking on the phone to mom is extremely
double creepy.
Rough.
Yeah, that's double creepy.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. Let's try Matt. Matt's on line 7 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Matt, nobody's having sex right now in this call, right?
No, nobody's having sex right now.
Nope. No time for Farmville, Kevin. Sorry. What happened to you, dude?
My fiance and I, we've been together for quite a while, but every once in a while, I'll still test her. Ever since the invention of the smartphone, it's just gotten worse just because she's got a personal computer at her fingertips.
Right.
She basically, like, a lot of times during sex, if she's on top or whatever, she hears, like, a certain ding or whatever text, or she has different message sounds for Facebook and all that other stuff. So, oh, yeah, I'm waiting to see what's going on with this. And lately it's gotten worse with, like, caterers and flower people and stuff like that heading up for our wedding, where she'll stop in the middle of it. And she's like, I got to handle business. I'm like, babe, we're doing business. And it just gets frustrating. So every once in a while, I tell her, babe, like, you know, you got to stop what you're doing. You know, just give us, you know, our alone time. Because usually when we do it, it's after working hours anyway.
Right.
And
you don't take that long. Let's be honest.
Oh, no. All I need is a quick 2 minutes.
That's why they call it a crackberry.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Why does she think that stuff is so important? It has to be handled within 60 seconds of the text coming in or the message coming in.
I don't know. She claims that she can multitask up and down. But the thing is this, though. It's like, okay, well, how can you multitask if you're detached from me over there?
Why don't you multitask on me?
Yeah.
You try that. So, that'll slay her.
So what I do every once in a while, we got an argument over it. She promises that she stops and stuff like that. So what I'll do, like a period really quick so she can't see what I'm doing, just so I can hear that ding or whatever going on for her phone. And
just to see if she's going to jump up and run.
Yeah. I've done that just a few times just to kind of play with her a little bit.
I like it.
This is a good relationship. I predict a long marriage.
Yeah, this is going to go well.
She's doing good so far.
So far. All right.
Matt,
her
good
rhythm,
luck to you.
Her rhythm changes, though, as soon as she hears that.
Well, step up your game a little, Matt, so she can't hear
true.
It. Thanks for the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is about 6 minutes till 8.
What time is that?
Should I try that again?
I don't think that time exists.
It's about 6 minutes till 8.
Okay. We have an award-winning filmmaker joining us after the top of the hour named Catherine Brooks. She has an interesting documentary where she is traveling all over the country, thousands of miles, to meet the people who are her Facebook friends. Why would you want to do that? You don't want to see those people in real life, right?
That's why you have Facebook.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's to prove that people have too many goddamn Facebook friends. Not your friends, and stop saying that word.
They're not your friends, exactly. So we're going to find out how that's going, plus a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup next hour, too. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some more tickets to give away to our very special K-Rock advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yay!
This movie stars Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation, Jake Johnson from New Girl. It's about some magazine employees who are sent to find a story behind a man in Seattle. Surprise, surprise. Lunatic in Seattle. Who claims he can travel through time. He put a classified ad out saying he's looking for someone to accompany him. And as the title suggests, safety not guaranteed when you're traveling through time. It is a smart, funny film, and we're showing a very special screening on June the 6th, which is next Wednesday, and then it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 8th. So if you'd like to go and see this film, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two people who get through with that number will get a pair of passes to see Safety Not Guaranteed. Bean, what's going on up there with your people shooting everybody, and you're time traveling?
Bad.
What the hell's going on up there in your neck of the woods?
That was a bad scene yesterday, that guy going around shooting people, I'll tell you.
Next thing you know, you're going to be eating people's faces off. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Florida. Florida.
That's just Florida.
Yeah. Seattle has not caught up with Florida yet.
And stop calling him a zombie, okay, people? He wasn't dead. He was a cannibal. Very different.
All right, take it easy. But there is a zombie apocalypse going on in Florida.
Of course there is, but it wasn't that dude. Right. Not him. He was part of the cannibal apocalypse.
Okay.
Who I saw the troop, by the way, in there.
Excellent. Who would have thought that these would be Ralph's people that he would be defending?
I'm just saying, if you know, the geeks out there want some specificity when it comes to how we throw the word zombie around.
All right.
We haven't talked much about the guy who got his face bitten off, but I mean, his nose and his mouth were gone. His forehead was chewed down to the bone, Ralph.
Oh, yes. Hey, let's get fewer gross details.
Come on with that,
well,
right?
At least there's video now. I don't know if you've seen the video.
At least
Yeah, there's video. Yeah.
And photos of the dude after.
So the guy spent about 20 minutes eating the guy's face, apparently.
Jesus. Did the dude use his cell phone at all at any time during
No, I didn't check in Farmville once the whole time I was there. It is the end times, right? We're done. We're done as a civilization.
I sort of feel like it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like George Carlin used to say, I believe we are circling the drain. There's nothing left to do but just watch. We're out of control.
Yeah.
Madness. Look, another example. There's One Direction. This band exists. I'm going to say that's how you know we're going down the drain. One Direction was on tour in Stockholm, Sweden. When apparently Lewis Tomlinson, who I'm guessing is one of the One Direction boys.
He's one of the band, yeah.
Stop it!
Is he your favorite being?
Stop it! That you know the individual members of One Direction.
I recognize his name. I'm no 1D fan, but I've heard
his name. Stop calling him 1D!
You know, it's a matter of time. You know, it's a matter of time when the believer amongst us starts getting the One Direction calendar pinned up on his wall.
Like he doesn't have that already. He's got a poster. Me.
Getting himself a bottle of lotion and a box of tissues for One Direction.
What's going on with Harry or Liam or whichever one you were talking about?
I'm talking about Lewis.
Now Lewis. What's going on with Lewis?
In his hotel room in Stockholm, Sweden, opens the door. There's a naked man standing outside his door.
Is the naked man named Bean?
Yes, it was. Imagine if the guy's naked, looking for One Direction in Sweden.
Yeah,
it's got to be Bean, right?
Yeah,
dude, I'm going to Sweden in like 3 weeks. You know that, right?
Lewis was, as you can imagine, panic stricken. Immediately called his security, and luckily, it wasn't a crazy fan at all. It was just a severely intoxicated gentleman who was looking for a bathroom. So, I guess he figured, why not go on One Direction the way we all have, really?
Didn't you get turned around in a hallway or something naked in a hotel once? You got locked out of your room? Didn't that happen to you once?
Maybe.
Because that's what it sounds like happened to this guy. Is he went out the door but I wasn't, he was on his way to the bathroom or
something. Look, if I had the opportunity to pee on One Direction, I would.
Yeah, sure, me too.
I would take that.
I wouldn't
take
stop there. I'd give him number two direction, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
There'd be more numbers than you're used to handling with.
That is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
That is awesome.
Thank you so much. Kanye West wants to be more than just a musician, a fashion designer. He says he wants to be the next Walt Disney.
What?
He wants his own theme park. He wants to develop Westworld, I guess, or Kanye Land. He says he wants to change entertainment experiences for life with his amazing new rides and adventures in Kanye Land.
That's weird.
That is weird, and no one would go there.
Dave would, King of Mexico.
Yeah, that's true. He would go.
I like Kanye a lot, but I wouldn't go to Kanye Land.
You'd go there, you're trying to get into the theme park. Like, all right, I'm going to let you finish in just a minute. But first, you should try Beyonce Land. That's the best land there is.
Maybe we could all ride Kim Kardashian if we went, though.
Yeah.
Oh, if that was an option.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Clint Eastwood, actor and director, is 82 years old today.
Is he unbelievable, by the way, the level of work that he's doing at his age?
He is remarkable. Of course, now, primarily, he's a director, but I think it takes more energy to direct and produce a film than it does to act in one. Yeah. So at 82, it's quite remarkable.
How much is he regretting letting his wife and kids go on the reality show?
I don't get the sense that he had much of a choice in that.
He doesn't care. Yeah.
I think
he might care, but letting them
younger,
may not be an option.
His younger wife seems to call the shots in that household.
Yeah.
She seems to be quite a spitfire.
It's just, it's so amazing to me that a guy who was a huge movie star in the 60s and 70s completely reinvented himself as one of the greatest directors in the world, you know, so late in life. And now that's what I think of him as. He's just a director now.
Yeah. Sure. Brooke Shields is 47 years old. Amazing Race host Phil Kogan, frequent guest of the Kevin and Bean Show, is 45 years old, and actor Colin Farrell, soon to be seen in Total Recall. He's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let's ask Dr. Drew about the Florida cannibal coming up in about a half an hour. You know, their theory right now, Kevin, is that he was high on bath salts. They think that's why he went so crazy and started eating that guy's face.
Bath salts?
And, you know, Dr. Drew has talked to us about the bath salts before.
But don't you get the idea that I could eat bath salts until I die and I would never eat another man's face?
I would think so. He was prone to that to begin with.
Yeah. I don't know how that is the decision you make on how to spend your day. I don't get that. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show, brand new Internet Roundup. Coming up first, we have Catherine Brooks on the phone. She is an awesome person who has contributed much to the world, including The Osbournes. She worked on, as a producer-director, The Real World, also The Meet the Barker Show with Travis Barker, Newlyweds with Jessica Simpson. She's done so much, gone on into feature films, and is now making a documentary that I think sounds fascinating called Face to Face. We wanted to find out more about it, and we welcome Miss Brooks to the show. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine, and I think you're on to something here. We were having a discussion a few minutes ago before we brought you on about how everybody has all these Facebook friends, but what does the word friend even mean anymore? And I guess that's where your thought about this new film started, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand how I could have 5,000 friends and still feel, you know, kind of lonely and isolated. It just didn't make any sense, and it made me wonder, like, what really is a friend these days?
How many of those 5,000 friends that you had on your Facebook page were people that you actually knew from in person? Like, were actually, you know, friends or family, people that you actually saw once in a while?
Not very many. And of the 50 people that I met, I only knew 3.
Now tell us how you picked the 50 people that you were going to go meet.
Yeah, the 50 people, I had had surgery and I was spending way too much time on social media. And I posted a status update, and I said, the first 50 people who say yes, I'm going to come to your city and spend the day with you and really see if we're friends and make a movie out of it. And it was, to not sound cheesy, it was really life-changing because it wasn't what I expected it to be.
What did you expect it to be?
Well, I expected to meet people that I didn't connect with because I didn't really know them. And, you know, we're friends on Facebook, but what does that mean? And I came out of it just feeling so connected to people again, because I think I lost my social skills. I think
because you spent too much time on Facebooking. Yeah,
but your situation is maybe different than some of our listeners who have Facebook friends, because you're kind of a celebrity in that, you know, you have fans because of the movies that you have made, and I'm sure that there were people who wanted to be Facebook friends with you just because they were admirers of your art, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a few of the 50 were like that, but of them, I mean, I even met people who didn't even know me, period. Like, they had been, you know, suggested by a friend to, like, add me as a friend. You know how that
works.
That's
weird.
And, yeah, so it was like some people were complete strangers that I was just getting to know, like, right off the bat on camera.
So
it was very strange.
That's interesting. So you put out the offer. You're like, hey, first 50, I'll come visit you. Then you're faced with doing it. Now, some guy who says, hey, I think that'd be funny, he's living in Miami or something like that. Now he's got to deal with the reality of you flying into his city, right? And he's picking you up at the airport and you guys are going off to spend the day together?
Exactly. That's exactly how it worked. I actually, the first 50 people, I didn't change it. Like, I gave AAA their cities. I said, just map me the best route. And I saw the actual 50 that said yes, right, like in the first 10 minutes.
So you were surprised by how you connected with so many of them. But there had to be one that you hated, really hated.
Well, I'll just say this. There were a couple that were very strange. And
did you cut your time short?
You know what? I said that I would spend the day with them, and I spent the entire day, but some were, you know, I mean, we're talking about people, some of the people that I met literally spend 8 to 10 hours on Facebook a day.
Wow.
And, yeah, like, had no social skills whatsoever. And so having to spend the day with them and have a camera there, it was just, it was very, very interesting.
So, what else you want to do?
It was probably as hard for them as it was for you.
Well, and that's the thing that really surprised me. Because I worked in reality for so long, like network television, and it's like, you know, you go do a show like this and you bring 15 people with you. I just brought one person with me. I brought a camera person, and that's it.
Right.
And that really helped because, you know, it made the people more comfortable.
and it made it more intimate. And I don't mean intimate in a dirty way, because
right.
that's not the kind of movie it is. But
hey, we're trying to sell tickets here, Catherine. Come on. At least leave the possibility open.
Hey, I have to leave some surprise for the movie, you know? I can't tell you everything.
All right. All right. By the way, the film is called Face to Face, and it's face and then the number two. Face to Face is what it's called. And tickets are available for this Sunday if you want to see the movie at the Man's Chinese Theater at 2:45. You can get tickets for just $10 at facetofacemovie.com. What is the plan after some screenings? I mean, eventually, is there going to be theatrical, or is it going to be video on demand, or what are you going to do with this, Catherine?
I think we're going to go theatrical. I'm going to tour with it for 4 months. I'm going to go around the country and then just at limited theaters, and then I think we're going to do a wide release and then
nice.
Do the whole DVD thing.
Now, I don't want you to give away anything you're not comfortable with, but did you make any actual real-life friends out of the 50 people that you went to visit?
I really did. A couple people I've really kept in contact with. A lot of people are coming to the screening that I connected with. I did. I made real friends, and it's something, you know, that I needed in my life right now, because I felt like, you know, at the time when I made this that I didn't have a really good, tight, niche group of people, and now I do. Now I feel like I have a good posse of friends.
She traveled 11,000 miles around the country, Kevin, to interview these people
wow.
for the movie. That's quite a commitment. And by the way, I want to mention this because I think this is awesome too, especially for you who's an independent filmmaker, Catherine. You financed this through Kickstarter, right? You just put it up there and said, here's what I'm trying to do, and people donated money and they helped you make your movie, right?
They have helped me through the entire process to make this movie. Through the conception, through the production, through the distribution, has all been done through Kickstarter.
That's awesome.
And yeah, yeah.
Face to Face is the name of the movie. Face2Face_movie is how you can follow them on Twitter if you want, or The Cat Brooks. Catherine Brooks, good luck with the movies. Thanks so much for coming on. We enjoy talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Why aren't we seeing Piranha 3DD right now? That's what I want to know. Why is that movie not showing in front of us?
It opens tomorrow.
Okay.
But you're going to have to wait till then.
Dave Koechner, one of the stars of the film, friend of the Kevin Abid Show, is going to be joining us coming up next hour, plus Dr. Drew on the way. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Abid Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Dave scours the internet during sex so that you don't have to bring you all of the best videos of the week, including some we don't have audio for you, like highlights of that pole dancing championship that we talked to the woman about a couple of weeks ago. Remember
right,
that was going
sure,
on in the
sure.
hotel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good video for you to check out there. Kevin, you came up with how to make the U.S. like soccer, which I think is a great idea. Way to add some special effects maybe to the soccer game to kind of pump it up a little bit. But we got a lot of great videos you definitely want to check out at kevinabean.com or krock.com, including this one. This is one of the most remarkable skydiving videos I've ever seen. Usually if there's an accident, if something goes wrong in a skydiving incident, usually the person dies.
Accident equals death.
Equals death. That is not the case this time. Listen to this grandma as she explains why she's getting ready to jump out of a plane for the first time.
Whose idea was all this?
Mine.
Hers.
Any
she
occasion?
Got she got everyone together.
Occasion. What's the reason?
I just turned 8.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Is this something you always wanted to do?
For years.
Well, grandma changes her mind and decides she doesn't want to jump out of the plane, so the instructor who's going tandem with her pushes her out of the plane.
Oh, no!
And when that happens, her harness slides down off of her body and is basically just hanging around her knees. The dude is holding onto her with his hands as they go down the entire way to the ground. I mean, she essentially doesn't have a parachute.
She comes out of the plane completely and then just falls, free falls.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No.
And then just free falls.
Crazy.
And the guy has to hold on to her the entire time all the way down to the ground, and she is fine, by the way.
If he pushed her out
and
she didn't want to go and she died, he murdered her.
I know.
Yes. Yes.
In the air, he was probably like, must save Granny.
It's the most incredible video you've ever seen because they have another guy who's jumping out of the plane who's shooting the whole thing. So you see him just holding on for dear life trying to keep this poor woman from falling.
That's sweet.
Oh, my God. If you ever had any plans to jump out of an airplane, this is going to stop those plans. There's another video about the ongoing frustration that Diablo 3 video game users are having about the error message you can get when you play this game. This guy did a very funny video called If Diablo 3 Were a Girl, and here's an idea of what happens.
Do you want to play with me like old times? You never finished me.
Okay, maybe just for a minute. Diablo, you don't know how long I've been waiting for this moment.
Wait, what?
she kicks him in the groin, error 37 on her t-shirt, and off she goes. Because once again, you get sucked into Diablo 3, and it's nothing but disappointment. Lakers, of course, are out of the playoff right now. That means a lot of Lakers fans are frustrated. These fans got together and wrote a song about maybe what went wrong in the postseason this year.
You didn't have to hog the ball. You triple team, so could get out to either Blake or Sessions. I know that they don't shoot so well, but you're really not the Kobe that we used to know.
Oh, yeah, it's his fault. How dare you?
How are you coming down on Kobe?
Kick it out to Blake. See what happens.
It is a great video, though. Really, really funny parody of the Godier song. Will Smith was doing some promotion for his big number one movie called Men in Black 3. He made an appearance on that Graham Norton show in Britain, and he was talking about how everywhere he goes, even though he's done all these huge blockbuster movies, people still remember The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And he starts singing it, and every person in the audience apparently knows the words to that TV theme song.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground of grass and most of my days. Chilling out in that same relax and all cooling on shooting some D-ball. Set up a school with a couple of guys who are up and over. Start making trouble in my neighborhood. I got a one little play and my mom got scared. And thinking, what if I got you?
That's more crowd than him.
It's so amazing, too, because I was looking as they were shooting in the crowd, and I was thinking, well, they must have put up the words on a screen for people. They didn't. Everybody knows the words.
Oh, no. Muggs was just singing along with it in the back of the room.
Unbelievable. So funny and so much fun to watch that. Talking about the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, you can see all of these videos and a whole bunch more at KREC.com or KevinandBean.com. Maybe the song of the summer, Kevin. I don't know if you've heard this yet, by Carly Rae Jepsen. Have you heard this song called Call Me Maybe? Here's a little bit of what it sounds like.
Hey, I just met you.
It's a huge number one song, and like the Godier song, it's one of those songs that everybody feels the need to cover. So somebody has put together a supercut of, check this out, 75 different YouTube cover versions of Call Me Baby, including some of them are parodies, some of them are straight covers, some of them are supposed to be funny, some of them are, you know, lip dubs, some of them are on ukuleles. Check out just a few of them right here.
Was that Glee?
I don't know what it is. I think Glee is in there, yeah. I don't know what it is about some songs that everybody wants to cover. Here's a K-Rock band, Fun, period, that has that We Are Young song. Even they did their own version of the Call Me Baby song.
It's hard to look right at you, baby, but here's my number, so call me maybe. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy.
That's good, right?
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like that better
than
the original.
With that. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel is back this week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Let me just say this. I had to f*** every reporter at KTLA for this story. I'm not going to lie.
After she saw the first half of the movie, she couldn't really talk to me.
Why?
I mean, something about how hard my c*** was.
I got a little nervous. I thought he was coming over to f*** me.
I love c***.
And two more on this week's Internet Roundup. They both involve the cutest little kids you ever want to see. Here's two little girls that are sitting at the kitchen table, and mom is trying to teach them the word popsicle. And one is trying to teach the younger one how to say the word popsicle, and hilarity ensues.
Popsicle.
Popsicle.
Why is this so hard? Say pop.
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 Now sickle.
Sickle.
Say it together.
It's adorable. And finally, this is the new David after dentist. Remember that kid from a couple of years ago that was on anesthesia coming home from the dentist? And he's like, is this real life? This kid rules so hard. It's called I Feel Dizzy. He wakes up in the hospital. I think he had some surgery on his arm or something. And he is having a lot of trouble figuring out what's happening to him.
I feel dizzy.
Dude.
Why do I feel dizzy? Stupid dizzy. Hey, dizzy medicine. Yeah. Hey, Dizzy, where are you?
I'm right here.
Why is there two of you? Hey, Dad.
What?
What's up?
What's
up, man? Hey, what's the big orange thing on my arm, man? Come on. It's heavy, you know? I just farted.
There you go. That's my favorite little kid. You can see all these videos at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new internet router.
Kevin and Bean's Internet
Router. That is Neon Trees, and everybody talks on the world famous KROQ.
I love them so much, by the way, and you can see them live today for free in the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. That's going to be at 1 o'clock today, streaming live through KROQ.com. The band Neon Trees stopping by doing a live performance for us.
You know what we're charging you? Nothing.
It's free, cool. Right?
Zero.
Yeah. So glad Dr. Drew has time to talk to us today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Bean, how are you?
We were thinking of starting salt, bath salts.
Calgon or methylene dioxypyrrolvaleurone?
I know that
what
we
do you
have,
recommend?
I know that we have spoken with you about the bath salts before, but they are very much back in the news. Have you been talking about the bath salts cannibal killer on the HLN show much, Drew?
In fact, I have, but thank you for watching, Bean. Yeah, I have. But in fact, I actually went, walked up the street to Hollywood Boulevard and bought bath salts.
All right.
I have a confession. I know I bought spice, K2, and bath salts.
And are you going to try it tonight on the show?
No, I thought, well, uh-huh. if you want to, I know it's one of your start nightly rituals, Kevin, so if you want to do that, you can join me, we'll do so. But
right.
Listen, it's so easy to get, it's ridiculous, and these things are just available over the counter.
But it's easy to get because people use it to put in their bath to make their water feel good, and, right? That's why it's easy to get.
And let's be clear, guys, there's no associated, these are not the balls of bath salts that you get at the hotel, these are not Calgon, they're nothing to do with bath salts.
Oh, I see.
It's actually a chemical called methylene dioxypyrrolvaleurone, or mephedrone also, or MDPV. And if you look at the little package they sell you, it says, oh, does not contain MTPV. Sure it doesn't. Yeah, right. And these drugs are basically a very powerful stimulant like methamphetamine with hallucinogenic properties like ecstasy, and it makes people nuts. Really nuts.
I don't want to take anything where I eat somebody else's face.
then maybe you want to avoid bath salts.
I draw the line right below that.
Yeah, so this guy, what you're referring to, this guy, Mr.
Rudy Eugene.
Yes, Mr. Eugene in Miami. I just thought it was a nice idea to eat some homeless guy's face off. And when he was approached by cops with lethal force, he basically looked up at them and growled at them, and they eventually shot, and that was that.
He was nude, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
That story has everything.
If you're going to eat a face, you just don't
really... Right, you don't want to get it on your clothes.
Right, exactly.
Here's what the Huffington Post said in their report on this story. The drug can cause severe agitation, rapid heart rate, high blood pressure, paranoia, symptoms of psychosis, including hallucinations and delusions. The drug can also lead to overheating of the body, which is why so many users remove their clothing. So there's no way for us to ever know. I mean, even if he were still alive, he probably wouldn't remember the specifics of what happened that led to the attack. But what's your guess? Yes, Dr. Drew. I mean, did he think that he was slaying a dragon? Or we have no way of knowing, but what makes him think he wants to eat a guy's face?
Yeah, I would caution you against trying to use your logical, rational mind working properly to the extent, Kevin, that Beans does. I'm
yes.
saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As opposed to someone whose brain is misfiring, where they are trying to make sense of things, and they may tell you in retrospect, well, I thought he was going to hurt me or something.
Right.
But the fact is, it's as disorganized as if he was having a seizure. It just happens to manifest in these extreme behavioral, anomalies. Where people, when you ever hear people like, ripping a goat in half and then killing, eating their, really wild, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And now, these people are changed when they do this drug for a while, and one of the scary parts about this drug is that they don't seem to go back very well. They don't seem to remit. They stay, their personality stays changed. They stay paranoid. It seems to damage the brain.
Not that I would ever do it, because there's zero about this that appeals to me. But if I were to do it, I still don't think I would eat someone else's face. Don't you have to sort of have some kind of malfunction going on ahead of time?
There's so little known about this drug, Kevin, that we can't really say that. It's possible we could turn you into a face eater.
I don't want to be a face eater.
I know. Well, then don't do bath salts.
No,
the crazy thing I find is when I was broadcasting about it on HLN, my producers kept coming up and going, make sure you say over and over again, it's not baths you put in, salts you put in the bath to soften your skin. I'm thinking, how many people can't get this story right. Am I wrong?
Dude, when I heard bath salts, I thought that's all it was.
I thought they were taking a household product and they were snorting it or doing something with it. I did not understand the distinction, Doctor, before you came on, so I'm grateful that you pointed out the difference.
All right, well, good. So this is something that's manufactured by some nefarious producers. I have no idea who they are. And they change the molecule slightly all the time, so they stay one step ahead of the regulators. And so it can legally be sold over the counter in many, many states. And this is, you know, we see this happening with the legal incense as well, you know, the spice.
Right.
You mentioned a couple of the names. This article points out White China, Lady Bubbles, Dynamite, Vanilla Sky, Ivory Wave, Cloud 9. And they are legal to sell right now. Is that something that they're moving toward figuring out a way to stop that loophole, Doc?
I know they're trying to, but I don't understand how they can do it if it has to be. If only they can illegalize molecule by molecule, and if they change the molecule slightly or the product slightly, they can't stay ahead of it. So I don't understand how they're going to do it. When it comes in these little vials that look like you're buying speed or cocaine or something. It's clearly not, you know, a Calgon bottle. You know what I'm saying?
Did you buy it so that you could hold it up on the TV tonight? Is that why?
A couple nights ago when you weren't watching, yes, that's what I did.
I could have told you that. I watched the whole thing.
Why is Dr. Drew the busiest man in America out buying his own props for a television show?
You know what? My staff went out and did it, and I said, I want to do it. I want to go see how easy this is. I really want to understand what this is. And the guy was very helpful. The guy behind the counter, the people that sell it, they will tell you, do not ingest this. This is horrible stuff. This is meant for your bath water. And this incense is for you to burn and smell. Do not smoke this. Do not ingest. And by the way, people are even injecting bath salts.
Oh, dear God. Wow. But what you're saying, Dr. Drew, is that what they're selling from behind the counter is not at all made for a bath.
Not at all.
So that whole thing is just a lie. It's just a way for them to sell it because it is legal.
It's a way to sell it, and it's just a catchy name for it.
I got you.
When you go out there and do your undercover like you did with this case, aren't you worried that somebody is going to take your picture buying bath salts and sell it to TMZ or something? The next thing you know, you got a drug scandal on your hands, and you're going to have to try to defend yourself. No, no, no. It was for research.
Well, we'll see what happens.
You should see how easy it is to buy weed.
Is that from you, Kevin, or from anybody?
I'm not saying.
It's an unbelievable story, this cannibal in Miami. I mean, just it's horrific. And whatever you do, you're going to be tempted, listeners, to look at the photos. Yeah. Don't look at the photos of the man's face.
And we're goofing around a little bit, but this is deadly super serious stuff and a terribly sad story.
And this is not us saying don't look at the photos because we really want you to.
No,
this is the opposite of that. You'll hate it.
Dr. Drew, co-host Loveline right here on Loveline 5 nights a week. And, of course, I never miss him weeknights at 9 on HLN. Thanks for the time, Doc.
Guys, see ya.
Dave Koechter joins us next here on the Kevin Devine Show talking about Piranha 3DD. Can't wait. Right now, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, so much stuff's going on. See the cover of Esquire magazine with Rihanna on the front, by the way?
No.
What happened to her?
Really? Why? She's starting to look bad?
She used to be hot, remember?
Yeah, I think she's hot.
You don't think she's hot
anymore?
Lately, she's got this this crack whore vibe going on with her.
Too skinny?
Too skinny, and the hair's kind of scraggly, and she looks kind of haggard, like too much partying's going on and stuff, and she's starting to wither away.
I'm not a crack whore fan.
There's a video of her shooting this video, by the way, and she just, she looks sort of rough on the cover of a magazine, and they got a team of people slathering her with special effects and makeup and stuff.
Right.
And what happens, up at the tiki bar in Barbados at the hotel? I'm just saying. Just good luck to you, Rihanna. Have a meal. Take a nap. G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe, real American hero.
That's the theme?
That's the theme for the cartoon show. G.I. Joe Retaliation, as we've talked about before, has been bumped from the summer blockbuster release schedule.
Too strong?
Too strong. The movie's too good. The initial scuttlebutt was that they were slapping some 3D onto it. Going to do a little 3D conversion to try to tap into that lucrative 3D market. Now, further stories are starting to leak out.
Uh-oh.
About the fact that it may be not so good.
Really? That's that they're trying to fix it?
Screenings and the reactions of the focus groups have been bad enough that they're trying to retool and save the franchise.
Wow.
So it now has been pushed back until March of 2013, by the way. So you will not see this movie until spring of next year sometime.
Almost a year. That's crazy.
And it sounds like they're going to do some reshoots, asking Channing Tatum to come back and shoot some additional scenes for the film. The Rock also co-stars along Channing in this film, so we'll have to wait and see what happens, but not a good sign. However, it does make room, as I mentioned before, for Ted to be moved up earlier in the year, so that's good news.
Can't wait for that.
Fans of talking teddy bears who like to smoke pot and bone.
Who isn't?
That's the end of June, right?
June 29th.
29th.
Yeah.
So sick of that old tired plot line.
Now we're talking movies. Fraggle Rock. Fraggle Rock!
Nope. Whatever that is. Nope.
The Rock is getting its own movie. Come on, Bean. How can you not love the Fraggle Rock?
Nine!
Nine.
I don't even know what Fraggle Rock is.
You don't know what Fraggle Rock is?
I mean, I've heard the name. Is it a Muppet type show?
It was a creation of Jim Henson. Yes, the Henson Company.
Where?
Down at Fraggle Rock.
That's a lame theme.
It's an awesome theme. Next year will be the 30th anniversary of Fraggle Rock. It's hard to believe 30 years have gone by since The Rock.
No.
Was on our TVs.
Who were the breakout characters of Fraggle Rock?
Well, there was the blue one and the yellow one.
There was just a bunch of Fraggles.
Okay.
There's no star, though.
No. No star like the Muppets. Okay.
No.
They are doing the big screen version. Big screen version of Fraggle Rock is coming to theaters everywhere. And the folks responsible for Rango, the very successful film with Johnny Depp, the animated film, is going to be in charge of Fraggle. So it looks like we get Fraggle next year. I'm very excited.
I'll pencil it in.
You know what else I'm excited about? Remember this little girl from Toddlers and Tiaras?
I'm Alana, I'm 6, and I'm a beauty queen. The other guys must be crazy if they think they're going to be me on a boo-boo child. I'm super solid because I do pageants. My mama nickname is Coupon Queen.
Coupon Queen.
I got somebody to do my pageants with. I like to win because I want to win money. A dollar makes me holler, honey, boo-boo. My
dollar.
Sister Jesus gonna help me.
Dollar make me holla, honey, boo-boo.
Oh, my God.
What's she up to now?
That's Alana, the star of Toddlers and Terrors, the breakout star from last year. That clip on the internet has blown up. And so, of course, the new series slated to premiere in August.
Nope.
Here Comes Honey Boo-Boo.
Yeah! Yay!
TLC announces today, Here Comes Honey Boo-Boo.
No!
The new series starring breakout star Alana and her mom. About the year, her career in pageants and her mom's cutting coupons.
No.
And they are doing what they do best, four-wheeling through mud pits in their rural home in Georgia, picking up roadkill for the family cookout.
All right, now I'm in.
Alana and her family will be featured.
It's white trash heaven.
Oh, dear Lord. The whole family gets in on the fun in the new series, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Alana, of course, her stay-at-home mom, June, her dad, Sugar Bear,
wow,
who works in the chalk mines of rural Georgia, her 12-year-old sister, Pumpkin, her 15-year-old sister, Chubbs.
As a girl, do you want the nickname Chubbs?
And her 17-year-old pregnant sister, Chickadee.
All right.
They just keep giving this family.
All be featured in the loud, crazy family get-togethers on Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
They could cancel like 7 other reality shows for this one.
As they claim it takes us off the pageant stage and into the outrageous life of the Honey Boo Boo clan.
Not interested.
Why? How can you not be interested in Honey Boo Boo, Sugar Bear, Pumpkin Chubs, and Chickadee?
Because it's a waste to put them all on one show. They should all have their each individual shows.
There should be a network. There should be a Honey Boo Boo network.
Does it get any better? Does it get any sweeter than that?
So I don't know what has to happen for this series to be on forever.
But please.
But please.
We're pledging you our undying
love. August of this year, apparently, they are going to premiere. Let me see if I can get an exact date for you here.
How many kids in that family? Did you say there are like 5 of them?
Four, as I can count.
You got 17-year-old is pregnant.
You got Honey Boo Boo. You got Pumpkin, Chubbs, and Chickadee's pregnant.
Oh, my God.
And then the mom and dad, June.
No way.
June and Sugar Bear. So that's your lineup there for Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Can't wait.
And while we're talking about great moments in television, the Today Show this week gave us this little piece, this little gem of tape. Kathy Lee Gifford is a horrible, horrible woman. Hateable on every level. And she is...
She's the devil.
She's the devil, and she's smarmy, and she is fake, and she's got this cheese factor about her. But at least now we know she's also lazy and does not do her homework when it comes to interviews on the Today Show. No one bothered to mention to her that Martin Short, who she was interviewing for his new movie, Madagascar 3, lost his wife a year and a half ago to ovarian cancer. It was a pretty big story in the entertainment world. Martin and Nancy Short had been together for a long, long time. One of the most successful marriages in Hollywood. And when she passed, it was a horrible loss for a lot of people in the showbiz community. It was well talked about. This was lost on Kathy Lee Gifford. Apparently, she had no idea that his wife had passed, which led her to the following conversation.
He and Nancy have gotten one of the greatest
marriages of anybody in show business. How many years now for you guys?
We married 36 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're still, like, in love.
Madly in love. Madly
in love.
Wow.
Why?
Cute. I'm cute.
Yes, that is true.
And you make each other laugh.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How does he think of funny answers while he's thinking,
I don't know.
My God, my wife died a year and a half
ago.
He
is the most gracious guest ever to be on the Today Show. To not stop her in her tracks and say, before you go any further, my wife passed away a year ago. We had a great marriage, and thank you, but no, she's no longer with
us. He could even say, I'm still in love. Whatever, but he didn't even do that.
He refused to embarrass her.
Pretty nice.
He's a classy Canadian, that's why.
Because Canadians are nice. Canadians are inherently nice people. And then when they went to commercial, apparently he said, psst, Kathy, my wife's dead. And then she had to come back on the air and apologize.
Martin just told me as he was leaving, he said, Kathy, you probably didn't know, but his beautiful, precious wife, Nancy, did pass away a year and a half ago of ovarian cancer. And I feel so badly. But he said, Kathy, he said at her funeral, Mike Nichols said, just keep the conversation going. And the way he was speaking of her
He said he had one of the great marriages. And at the end, he told you.
I still do.
Yeah, I still do.
So my apologies to him and his family for not realizing that.
No, it was great. It's great what you did. I'm sure it didn't open up any old wounds, Kathy. I'm sure everyone's fine with it. I'm sure they're all very happy to watch that interview.
It's just painful to listen to
that. They'll probably play that at Thanksgiving this year. They'll probably just bring that out for the family. You got something you want to play over there? You guys make a lot of hand gestures, a lot of mime going on over here.
For me or him?
Both of you. Not a miming.
Is that what happened?
Move on.
He's pointing desperately at that button, Kevin.
The more desperately he points, the less I want to play it. Back to you.
And this is good news for our resident Belieber, Bean Baxter. Justin Bieber just announced that NBC is giving him his own network TV special. If you're not getting enough Bieber, the one-hour special called Justin Bieber All Around the World will air on June the 21st.
Is this going to be like Michael Jackson's old press TV shows where it's just people crying in every city?
Yes. Yes, it's him on his current world tour.
It's probably a concert special, mostly, though, right?
They'll show some
comment.
They'll show some performance footage, but mostly it's going to be crowd shots of the fans reacting to Bieber on stage and some rare behind-the-scenes footage of Bieber on his knees thanking God for all success. Okay. Yeah,
so. Giggity, giggity.
Giggity, giggity. Indeed.
New album, June 19th. Looking forward to it.
Shut up. Is there any way to shut up?
Is it true his next single is a cover of She Just Died in My Arms Tonight by the Cutting Crew?
Yes.
Or whatever
that? Yes, it is.
Just that you know that makes me hate you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Colin Farrell's 36 years old today. That new Total Recall, I've seen some footage from. Boy, does that look good.
Looks good.
Kate Beckinsale's also in it. Great, great, great cast. Amazing Race host Phil Kogan. He's 45 years old. Brooke Shields. Now, there's been some debate. Getting some tweets
about the bell,
some emails about the bell regarding Brooke Shields.
I wondered that as well.
I think even at 47, she's still bell-worthy.
Okay.
Right.
Really good. Yeah, that's fine.
There we go.
All right.
DMC of Run DMC is 48 years old today. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future fame.
Now, how about her? Because I got a complaint about that as well.
I think Leah has passed her expiration date when it comes to the bell.
All right.
Yeah, God love her.
Talented, the right decision.
But she's Back to the Future. She was adorable.
Sure.
She was my mom. I so would have banged her if I went back to the future and she was my mom.
Really?
I would knock boots with her. I just would have wrecked her.
That would have changed everything.
I would have
wrecked
the 50s with my penis.
You would be your own dad.
She's 51 years old today. Tom Berenger, very talented actor from The Big Chill and other films, 62 years old. And actor director Clint Eastwood celebrates his 82nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, I don't want to tell you how to do your business, Ralph. You're the movie guy, okay?
Yes, I am.
Isn't it early in the season to have the Oscar bait out there? I mean, why open an Academy Award winner in June? I don't understand.
Because the buzz is so incredible. The critical buzz is so strong on this film, especially for our guest today. We want to try to get it out there to make sure that the Academy has time to vote.
Talking about this weekend's Piranha 3 Double D, ladies and gentlemen, the great David Koechner.
Good morning.
Hi, Keck. How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, you mentioned the Oscar campaign. Nobody knows that better than the Weinsteins.
That's true.
And we've got a Dimension film here, the Weinstein brothers. So they've got the early push. They may do a re-release right around Christmas.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you almost won for Final Destination 5. I remember that.
I've been so close so many times.
You should start writing your speech now, though, seriously, for this
Thank
one.
You.
And I haven't even seen it yet.
Right.
But the buzz, like we said, is so strong.
The buzz is crazy.
You get it?
Yes. Yes.
Look, you've been in some great movies over the years. Plus, you were in Get Smart. Let's not forget that. But I mean,
you can add a lot of pluses. Go ahead.
This has to be I refuse to accept anything other than this was one of the most fun experiences of your life, being in Piranha 3DD, because it looks so awesome.
It was fun. It was interesting.
Loved the first one.
We did.
Yeah,
we
just, you know,
so
here's what I love.
Funny.
It is what it is. It makes no pretense other than it is Piranha. Spell it how you want.
Mm-hmm. Good.
3. We all know that symbol.
Right.
Double D.
Right.
We all know what that means.
Right. Uh-huh. And all of that is
flesh-eating fish.
Yes, and girls in bikinis.
Girls in bikinis and boobies.
That's right.
Who's back from the original? We got Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames is back. Paul Scheer is back.
Great.
And I think that's it from the original.
Christopher's not returning.
It was quite a body count.
Chris
Lloyd.
Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. But no, Lishu.
There are even more fish coming out from that hole in the bottom.
I just have to comment on the vocal alacrity of
I don't
Ralph
know what that
Garman.
Means. Vocal
he's,
alacrity.
He's amazing.
Stop okay. it, Dan.
No, I know You're he's a friend kind. Of mine, but just let me pander. I love Ralph, and I'm always amazed by his range. Honest to God.
We are, too. We are, too. I'm not kidding you.
Believe me, we don't keep him around for his personality. I'll tell you that.
True. That they don't like me at all, but they need me.
That was my next question.
David, tell me about, because this movie is so jam-packed, you already mentioned some great actors in the cast, but tell me about working with Gary Busey, first of all.
Oh, the Buse.
Gary and I, he was already gone by the time I got to town.
Oh, because he's crazy.
He was there, Eventually, but he was gone. Is that what you said?
Well, I got to say, I have nothing but sympathy for Mr. Busey. I think that it must be torture to have to go
now,
through
we want
life.
To laugh at him. Come
I know,
on, Kit, come
I know
on.
We do, but we have to be sympathetic and empathetic to people with mental disorders or people who've had head injuries and it causes them to lose certain filters and
That's
have behaviors that might be regrettable if they were at all had the ability to understand what they were doing. But it's only those around us that go, I think the man's probably walking through life and there's a lot of confusion.
That's probably
and
true. Yes.
It's you know, I think we need to be more sympathetic, empathetic to persons who are different, and who I mean, look, that accident clearly has made a change, and I don't know if there was. Any
hey, Dave,
mood
find
component.
Out what happened to Koechner. Send in the real Koechner. That's unacceptable.
It's very true.
It's tough. I saw him at the premiere.
Yeah.
And
did he recognize you?
No.
Remember you? Know
no.
you? No.
No.
Mm.
No.
I guess that.
I just said we're in the movie together, huh?
Tell me, let me hear how good you are. I want to see if you can defend Hasselhoff now, because he's in the movie too.
Well, there's no defense. Look, because David Hasselhoff doesn't, he takes it on himself.
He really demands it.
He's completely lampooning himself. Here's the beauty is, he's taking on the spirit of the film and putting the spear right in his chest. The film is winking at itself while maintaining the straight face the entire time, and
right.
Hasselhoff is doing the same.
Which is what the first one did perfectly.
Yes. Perfect. And this one does it is the same with a lower budget.
What is the boob count in this one, Dave? You know?
Wow. I'd have to get my hands on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not
would.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
It was high. Now, here's what I say about boobs. That's God's art. Right?
Correct.
Yes. With you.
So,
absolutely.
And sometimes
yeah.
a surgeon's
sometimes.
Art. Sometimes it's a combination of God and man.
But God made the men.
That's true.
So it's all God's
God. In the
let's
listen around. To the trailer.
Did God make that building?
Yeah.
Roundabout way.
All right. Here's a little bit of the trailer from Piranha 3DD.
In the world's wildest water park, the party has never been hotter.
Tell me you did not replace our old lifeguards with strippers.
Water certified strippers.
And the guests have never been hungrier.
Mommy, I got bit. It was a piranha.
It was not a piranha. We think they're back.
These piranha spent eons in underground lakes and rivers.
There's something in the water!
Piranha 3DD.
I'm in.
For your consideration. I want to go right now.
You got to see it in double.
I'd like to see it in double D.
You need to see it in 3D. It makes a big difference. I said this to my wife. The film is at its most intelligent when it has, and you'll recognize these even more than I do, Ralph. They've got these like grindhouse moments that are on film that they shoot that are just like you appreciate them on several different levels.
I got what you're saying.
And I think that's when the movie's at its most intelligent.
I don't know at all what you're saying.
Well, but it's being referential to other genres.
It's
like
a reference, but it doesn't point to it. It just exists. It's still cool. It's the ones that come at you, and it puts you in a – it's kind of got a historical context
right.
in the film as well. So, look, I'm not going to put a shine on this thing. We know what it is. You know what it
is. It's the best movie ever.
It's a great summer movie. It's a popcorn air conditioning movie.
And the best part is it doesn't even try to do – it does not fooling it. Like, this is better than a lot of that $100 million budget stuff that's really trying. And it's like, wow. Those stories are no better than this story. And guess what? There's a love story in this movie.
Of course there is.
Of course there is.
There was one in the first one.
There was in the first one, too, right?
And any movie franchise that kicks off with Jerry O'Connell's penis being eaten by a piranha had me in for the rest of the run. Whatever they do from now on, and I'll be going first day.
I have to say something about our lead heroine, Danielle Pennebaker. Not a strong swimmer. Afraid of the water.
Right.
She's in the water the entire picture.
She's got a horrible agent then, if that's the case.
No, or she's got incredible will. That she's a warrior princess. That's
she's
awesome.
A great actor. She was in a series that I loved that was short-lived called Shark with James Woods.
Oh, wow.
And she was in that series, and she's a very talented
girl. She's in everything that has to do with ocean water. And she can't swim.
She's a really good person.
The film is called Piranha 3D that we're talking about with David Koechner. It opens everywhere this weekend. So, Ralph, what do we do? Do we say goodbye to Showbiz Beat and come back and talk some more with the Kicks?
Absolutely.
I know we got a lot of other questions.
We'll take a break. I want to talk more about,
of course.
More about Piranha 3DD and also maybe a little bit about another film that's having a sequel made sometime soon.
I can't believe that wasn't the first thing out of it. That's awesome.
We're all waiting for it.
I know, but at least here... You know, they don't ignore the fact that we're here to talk about.
You have another film?
Yes.
You have made other films, and we will talk about all of them.
Was that a hot mic?
It was a hot mic, but I didn't hear anything.
Oh, good.
So
we're good. I didn't either.
I'm sitting over here having a conversation with Ralph. Hey, so anyway.
That is the voice of actor David Koechner here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, our listeners probably best know him from his years on the Hannah Montana Show. But he is in a new film this weekend called Piranha 3D, 3DD, excuse me, which we all insist you go see. Now, you knew it was coming, David, but we couldn't have you in here today without talking about the other thing that is a sensation that everyone is asking you about these days, which is Anchorman 2.
Right Anchorman on. 2.
Right Anchorman on.
I always invite that.
2.
Of course.
And I've heard you say this before, a day has not gone by since the original movie came out where somebody has not asked you on the street, hey, what's going on with the sequel? But it was in limbo and apparently wasn't going to happen for so long that we kind of had given up on it. What changed?
Adam McKay was about to start prepping for Step Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, you know what, let's just take one last shot at it. Let's go back to Paramount and let's see if they're open to it. And they were.
So it was the studio that was basically saying that we don't
have
time.
They had said no for a long time, right?
Right. Well, here's the thing. This is a true story. Okay. I'm not making this up. Two years ago, we were supposed to start rehearsals in the spring for a Broadway musical version of Anchorman. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
We were going to run it all summer, and then we were going to go into shooting Anchorman 2, which was not going to be a musical, but it was all just going to be this fun, long march toward making the sequel.
Right.
And it was a go. And then, strangely, boom, it was over.
Just all of a sudden it ended, and who knows why.
And so at that point I thought, oh, well, that was it, because everyone had lined up their schedules. But then magic happened again. And I think that's why they announced it right away, even though it was a year and a half before you'd see the picture.
Just to lock you into it?
Well, just so they no one could go back.
Yeah. So Paramount couldn't say no. We changed our mind.
Now you have all the same actors?
Yes.
Aww.
And that had to be a problem, too, because everyone sort of had blown up after that fact.
Exactly.
So salaries go up and schedules get more packed and stuff. So how do you get that gang back together?
Right. They were all willing to compromise from the very beginning in terms of lowering their salaries.
Except for Carell. I heard he wanted it all.
You mean the meanest man in the world?
Yes, that bastard.
So Will Ferrell all along wanted to do it. Paul Rudd wanted to do it. Every time they would ask one of these guys, they say, it was just the studio. And eventually the studio woke up and realized there's a ton of money to be made off of. Right?
That's always.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Always economics. Oh, that's what prevented it, and I think that's what finally...
Yeah, the rumor was they didn't think there was enough overseas money for the sequel,
so,
right?
But you don't need it. The people of America have more money than anybody.
I'll watch it enough for overseas people.
We'll buy DVDs, Paramount. Right. It's okay. Oh, it's all good. So greed prevented it. Now, irony is greed greenlit.
Now, where are you in the... Have you seen a script even? I
mean, it's being written now.
Okay.
So it's going to be about... The advent of the 24-hour news cycle.
Okay.
So, 1979 is when CNN went nationwide,
right?
So, we had all these regional power players, but then, boom, they went national, so it's going to affect the news team. Don't know how yet. I envision a larger fight.
I hope.
Another gang fight.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, that was the best. They were showing up on bikes and everything.
And the cameos in that scene. Yes. You know, when you got Ben Stiller and you got Tim Robbins and all those guys.
I have to say, one of my favorite quotes I heard about the making of Anchorman 2 was Paul Rudd said, well, if they won't make Anchorman 2, we should just go ahead and make Anchorman 3.
Paul, maybe not understanding the concept behind the problem there.
Did you, I know it's a movie that did well at the box office, but really just became unbelievably popular on, you know, on television and DVD. Did you know at the time it was going to be that kind of a movie that was just going to be a keeper, that was going to be one of those defining movies of an era?
Well, you never know what it's going to do. You can't think about the monetary outcome, but I will, and this is true, we all were about halfway through the movie almost not wanting to mention how good we thought this was going.
Almost afraid to mention
because
that.
It's kind of like a no-hitter. You're not supposed to say, hey, he's got a no-hitter going. It was like that. It was almost whispery. Like, wow, this is funny. This is
good.
Uncommonly good.
Yeah.
So that was definitely noticeable.
I've watched that movie 30 times?
We all have. It's just it's one of those things when you come across it on television or cable, you say, I'm in now for the next 2 hours. I'm going to sit my ass down because I'm watching.
It's amazing. It's nationwide. I travel. I do stand-up now, but you know, anywhere I go. And the best part is you'll have grandfather who will come up, put his hand on your shoulder and say something.
Really?
And then there's the 13-year-old grandson who's also equally excited.
Say whammy. Say whammy for me.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll just go, well, we're at the airport, so whammy. He'll go, that wasn't very
good. Not much of an effort.
I'm supposed to scream it and go, look at me. I'm really desperate. Airport.
Airport love. So when is it coming out? You said a year and a half?
We're going to start shooting in February of 2013.
Can you move that up any?
But it's great. They've got the trailer already online and the posters.
Right. That's what's hilarious. Yeah.
We shot that in mid-April. We went in one morning, did a bunch of stuff. McKay is so...
He's a genius, right?
Yes, he is. I reserve... that's a term overused, but McKay is a genius. You know,
Adam.
He's a Philly boy.
Yeah,
another Philly boy.
That doesn't make him good.
That's why he's a genius, because he comes from Philly.
That's a strike against
him. It's in the water there. Or the water, as we say in Philadelphia.
He's one of those guys, I say his mind has its own gravitational pull. It's that white hot.
Yeah.
You know, Farrell pulled up lame in a soccer match over in the UK this week.
Really?
You know? He was doing a charity soccer match over there with Gordon Ramsay and some other yahoos. They were playing money for UNICEF, I guess.
Wow.
He was playing soccer, and they had to carry him up the field. He pulled up lame.
Wow, that's...
So you might want to get a guard around your boy there to make sure everything stays in place.
Can't
push this back any further.
Those are insured things. What are you doing?
Well, there's a lot of pressure on all of you guys to stay alive now till next year. So.
Yeah, really. Just to stay alive.
Just till next year.
I'm going to wrap you guys in bubble wrap just to make sure you all make it to February of next year.
We don't care what happens to you after that, Keck, but you got to stay alive for Anchorman 2, all right? All right, well, we're about out of time. That one will have to wait till next year, but Piranha 3DD opens up everywhere in theaters tomorrow. We are so excited about this movie. We're not just funning, David. We really are happy that you're in it, and we can't wait to see it, dude.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming in. We know you got a ridiculously busy schedule today, but thanks a lot for stopping by and visiting with us.
Anything for you guys.
Tomorrow we have Colin Hanks in the studio. Tomorrow we have Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We have Sugar Ray Leonard tomorrow.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow. How's that?
Like a show. You're surprised. Like, how do we get these people?
Yeah. We're always surprised when guests want to stop by and talk to us.
And we realize, like, is there going to come a point where they realize that it's our show and they're going to call and go, yeah, he's got other engagements. So we got that and your zombie escape plans also. Tomorrow morning on an all-new